Sunday school students, please remain in the sanctuary. Good morning. Our scripture passage for today is found in the book of Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to follow along. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you're always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. I'm a little conflicted because of the time. Some people have been reminding me that somebody has already preached the message. And I don't know how you feel if I just said, let's pray together and... But, I will try to limit the time as much as I can as I do it. But I do think that the text that we have read today really helps us to put everything into perspective about, you know, what God has in his heart and how we should really search and look after the things that he's interested in. Before I get into the text this morning, I wanted to take a moment to explain a title here that I made up for today's story because I probably won't have time later. So the good in this story is the father. Jesus told a lawyer who called Jesus good teacher that only God is good. The bad is the prodigal son who lives his life carelessly without any regard for the father nor the family, like Jensen. In spiritual terms, these are the people who does not care for God or his law. They are the masters of their own life and don't need answer to anyone. The ugly, however, which I believe is of our interest for those of us who has been churched and living a church life for a very, very long time, is a story of a person without any love for both the father and his younger brother. And I think it's very, very possible to be a religious person without love, and Christianity without love can be extremely ugly and dangerous. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the testimony that you have spoken through Jensen and how this particular passage resonates with his story, where he was lost but welcomed by you and embraced by you and loved by you and brought into the house once again, being restored in his relationship with you as a son of child of God. And I want to ask, Lord, that you will help us to open our hearts this morning to listen not only to the joy, but of warning that is also given through the story of the elder son. Father, I pray that you will help us to open our hearts and our minds to listen to what it is that you are saying to us this morning, so that we can come back, so that we can repent and change the way we live and approach our faith. We ask you to be with me, Lord. Use me as your servant to speak forth your message this morning. I pray all these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. So I'm just going to go right into description of, so we are at PowerPoint number 6. We're in the description of kingdom, God's kingdom as a family. And as you are able to see, there is a father, and there are two children. The story begins with an introduction of a younger son who deliberately makes himself independent of his father, perhaps reminding us of Adam in the Garden of Eden. He asks for his share of his inheritance in order to be on his own. This son's request did not need to be considered, as inheritance refers to a property that is passed on at the owner's death to their heir or those entitled to succeed. Obviously, in the story, father is still living. Another important tradition regarding inheritance is the fact that the firstborn in Jewish custom was given a double share of father's inheritance. I want us to note that after having given younger sons his inheritance in full, everything that father is using in this story, including the robes and the rings and the fattened calf and all of these other things, technically belongs to the elder son as his inheritance. In the story, father grants the younger son his wish. One might ask why he would do that, and my guess is that the younger son might have felt that serving his father was no longer appealing to him and believed that something better lied elsewhere. I mean, when we think about it in practical life, isn't it also a fact that when we try to teach our young to avoid certain choices because we think that they're harmful, they never listen to us? So here are the key verses for the younger son. And maybe we can kind of read it with them. Anyways, after having received his portion of inheritance, younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there, he squandered his property in reckless living. This is where the title of the story derives its name, The Prodigal Son. Now, after he wasted his position with prodigal living and harlots, his sin leaves the son in rags, and so desperate was the young man's situation that he became a farmhand feeding the pigs. Pigs, according to the Jewish law, were considered unclean animals, which makes such work more humiliating. And eventually, young man became hungry for the food that pigs were eating. This detailed information was designed to emphasize the depth of misery, which serves as a symbol for human misery with away from God. But the good news of this portion of the story was the fact that the son came to his senses in verse 17, where he recognized what he had lost not being without the father. So he decides to return to the father. Before he does, however, he contemplates what he was going to confess, what he was going to say, or ready to tell the father in verse 18. First, he was going to own up his own wrongdoing. He was going to confess his sin before the father. And as for his status, he knew he was no longer worthy to be called his father's son and was willing to accept the position of one of his father's servants. Let's take a look at verse 19 closely, and we will see that genuine repentance entails not only acceptance of Jesus, whom God has sent to save us as the Savior, but also as our Lord, as indicated by younger son's willingness to become father's servant. So the elements of repentance in this passage are, first, the recognition of who I am. Second, willingness to change. And thirdly, actions that follows that will. Now let's go to the next character that is introduced, and that is the father. Now, I don't know if you recall a story that I told about myself being a black sheep of my family when I was young. Now, I don't want to go into too much details because obviously there's a lot at stake, including the church's reputation. An event that caused me to lose myself into rage and rebellion was experiencing violence done to me by a gang when I was an innocent 14-year-old boy who didn't possess an ounce of hatred toward anyone and who did not have a single enemy. During the dark period of my life after that incident that followed, my redemption was through retaliation, and I began to become more interested in spending time with my friends away from my home and family. I remember the first time when I decided to spend the night with my friends. One night became two nights, and then quickly turned into a week when I finally decided to return home. I was kind of scared about how my parents would react to me, but at the same time, my heart was so dark that I didn't care. When I got close enough to the house, I remember seeing my father sitting on the porch, looking intensely at the only street he knew I was to come through. When I got to about 30 meters of him, he saw me, stood up, and walked back into the house. Every time I read this verse, I vividly remember that day. Sure, my father didn't come running to me, embrace me, and cook me a pork belly meal, but I knew he did everything humanly possible to miss me and welcome me back in his own way. I never did thank him for waiting up for me, but I'll be sure to talk to him when I see him in heaven. In the story, when the father met his younger son, the son who has made a dwelling with unclean animals in all that filth, probably in rags and his misery, any contact with such person would have made that person ceremonially unclean, according to the law. But in the story, father fell on his neck and kissed him. Another law in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18 to 21, permits stoning, which is a death sentence, to a son or of a son who disgraced his family. But in the story, there was no talk about what the younger son did wrong, and there was no confession made, but the restoration was made immediately with the best robe, which would have been father's expensive festal robe, the shoes indicating that the son was not a servant, and the ring, which was a proof of sonship. Just like the father in the story, God knows the heart of the repentant sinner and is eager to welcome him. I hope that the story that reveals God the Father's heart touches all of us. He really loves his people, including those who have chosen to go their own way. And he eagerly waits for their return, just as you see in the story. That is the reason why, day like today, when people are baptized and united with Jesus and God the Father again, it's such an amazing day with amazing consequences. Throughout my time in ministry, one of the greatest joys I've experienced were the times when I was able to hear the testimony of those who made a decision to follow Jesus. Then later their parents would share their relief of how they thought their children were lost, but now they were found. Obviously, God's grace is primary reason, but every person in a church plays a role in making such things happen. And I don't know if there's anything else that is more worthwhile from a Christian perspective. Why do we spend so much time talking about and emphasizing our problems with sin and failures to live up to God's expectation as if that is all there is to Christian life? Why don't we talk more and become more intentional about doing things that really pleases God so much that it would bring joyful laughter to Him? How would we feel about doing that? Our last character of the story, the older son, is Jesus' picture of the Pharisees. As in the story, they stayed home with God, but without much sense of joy and freedom. And they're jealous and critical when sinners are so joyfully welcomed back. If we grew up in the church or have been a believer for many years, I believe this portion of the story, particularly this character, is worth our careful consideration as sort of a case study in what can happen to people who have been around religion for a long time. Here are the key verses for the older son. Okay. In contrast to the father, who shows nothing but mercy to his long-lost son, who has finally come home, the older brother mocks at the joy and celebration arranged for his brother. He's out in the field refusing to partake in the festivities. By staying outside, he is humiliating elder brother. He's humiliating his father and his brother. And he's not merely jealous, but outraged at what he perceives as injustice. How can his father kill the fatted calf because his disobedient and careless son had come back? While seeming to neglect the faithful, diligent loyalty of his other son. Contrary to younger son's attitude of remorse and repentance indicated by confession, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you," older son's attitude was one of deserving when he said, "Look, these many years I have served you and I never disobeyed your commands." And that was the attitude of the Pharisees who are among those listening to this story. And in a larger sense, it would become the attitude of Jews in general as the gospel quickly spread to the Gentiles. How could Jesus be so friendly toward known sinners, such as the tax collectors, and so distant from people like the Pharisees who carefully practiced the final points of law? How could God be compassionate toward Gentiles while the Jews, who have been his people for generations, pass by? In the modern context, how do we respond when someone came into the faith? Have you felt that more attention is paid to new converts than those who have followed biblical teachings all their lives? This parable contains a comfort and a challenge. The comfort, according to verse 31, is the fact that God never forgets who his children are and has great treasures stored up for them. But the challenge is to maintain a proper perspective that is a perspective of compassion and mercy, which is the heart of the Father that we serve. The most important part of the story is how hopelessly lost the elder son is in regard to his father's heart. He doesn't see the father as a generous person, therefore could not ask, and that he felt that he was slaving for him. And he also doesn't understand the father's heart for his lost son. He calls his brother, son of yours, showing that he is completely without love for both his father and his brother. Let's think about following things. Is there any one of us who might think that God only takes and doesn't give? For whatever reason, whether it be because of challenging circumstances or hardships that we may be going through. I think this text should remind us through the story of God's generous love and his care and concern for us. The Pharisees and other religious leaders thought they were saved because of their exemplary conduct, but they were out of fellowship with the Father and needed to repent and seek forgiveness. According to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 1, there are two kinds of sins. One is the sins that are done in our flesh, in our body, and the other is the sins of the Spirit. The religious leaders of Jesus' day may not have been guilty of the gross things that the younger son did, but they were still sinners, guilty of critical and unloving spirit, pride, and unwillingness to forgive. If any one of us find our heart to resemble the heart of religious leaders with their critical and unloving spirit, pride, and unwillingness to forgive, could we ask God to cleanse and purify our hearts once again this morning? In the story, the father demonstrated patience and mercy by actively going to meet his son who refused to join the celebration and pleading with him to celebrate with them. That is God who is working in your heart through the Holy Spirit this morning, as he refuses to command you, but pleads with you to come to your senses. And finally, if you are one of those persons who has walked away from God, like the younger son, I'd like to ask you to consider the heart of God that seeks for you today. I pray that you will also come to your senses and ask God for his mercy to forgive you of your sins and receive the joy of being accepted as a child of God. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for this wonderful message that you've given to us through the scripture that reminds us of your love for us, not just us the believers, but people like Jensen who was outside of you but has now been found by you. And there are so many of us who are surrounding our lives, whether it be our family members or our friends, our co-workers, fellow students, our cousins, relatives, whoever it may be, who is still found without God. Father, may we have mercy and compassion on them, and may we be able to ask you for the courage to share this wonderful news of ours, the testimony that we all carry in our lives, in our hearts, with them, so that they may also come to know you, God, and receive you as their Lord and Savior. And Father, I pray for myself and all of us who has become religious. Father, we are so carried away and satisfied with the things that we do regularly in our church life that we might not have, we might have forgotten to love. We might have forgotten your love for the people around us. Lord, cleanse us and purify us of all our iniquities this morning as we confess our sins before you. Lord, remind us of what is important as a follower of Jesus Christ. While your heart aches for those people who are lost, only to be found by you, I also pray as a church and as a believer of Jesus Christ that our hearts also would ache for the things that you ache for. And as people come into our church, by your gracious invitation, I pray that we will be able to welcome them and share your love with them and introduce them to you and help them to know you, God. And once they grow and as they age, they may become an amazing servant and workers for you, which is what we all desire as a church. So I pray for your continuous blessing upon FEC, and I pray through your grace that we may continue to grow and rise as mature adults who are capable of knowing your heart and doing what you desire. Thank you so much, Lord, for this amazing time that we had together this morning. I pray for your blessings throughout. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's rise and appreciate the deep, deep love of our Father.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His
Jesus.
Thank you for worshiping with us this morning.